Good morning. Heavenly Father, we want to come before you now and just ask you to bless this teaching, your perfect word, Holy Spirit, that you would take it to the ears, that you would unstop the ears of those who are closed to the message and enlighten them and strengthen them. You are our rock. Help us with our walk. In Jesus' name, amen. As believers, are we huddling in our churches or are we helping out in our communities? You see, now we can't really huddle in the churches because it's not allowed, so it doesn't really matter. You see, we were never called. It was never the command to huddle and wait, but rather it was to go and tell others about Jesus. It says that in Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them." It's interesting because mountains represent here problems and people in their lives. And here we know that there are problems in our lives. Some of them are appointed divinely so that we could overcome. So we can not do it in our own strength, but rather do it in the strength that God gives us. Some of us are huddled in our houses right now, not our churches, and are having a very difficult time, and I understand, and I sympathize and empathize. But we can do so much more now. We can actually reach people that we haven't reached. We can witness to people and share Jesus, not with people in the church, but people at work, in the neighborhood. Are we huddling down, or are we going out and seeking whom we could share Jesus? Are we praying about it? Everything has to be covered with prayer. In verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him. Not all. It says some doubt it. If you're doubting today, I hope this message encourages you to get on fire for Jesus right where you're at. In your neighborhood, you can share the love of Jesus, just the joy you have in your heart going through a difficult time, going up a steep mountain, if you will. It says in verse 18 of Matthew 28, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them." You can teach people things that they don't know, things that you know about the Bible. It's the Great Commission. He says, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And remember this above all things, right here today, Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of an age." Jesus is with us always. Remember that as we go through this time. It's different, I understand, but we can make the best of it. We don't want to forfeit our opportunity that God is giving us going through this phase of how we can reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ in different ways. How we can share the love of Christ in different ways. Maybe just taking them a gift of food or something, giving them some encouragement, because many are down and all of us will get down at some point. Encourage one another is what we should do. As we recap last Sunday, you recall we were in 1 Kings chapter 17. We're speaking about Elijah. And just to reiterate, Elijah was speaking the word that God had given them. He was a prophet. He was to tell people what was going to happen. He said, "It's not going to rain all these years until I speak a word, till God tells me to release the rain." God has given us the opportunity, just like with Elijah, to speak the word of God. Elijah, fortunately, was obedient to the word of God. We need to ask ourselves, are we obedient to the word of God? When God says, go and speak, do we speak to that person? Do we let them know? Elijah, he would stand on God's word. Are we standing on the word of God? As we speak the word of God, that which the Lord spoke to Elijah, he let the people know. That which God is speaking to you in your prayer closet, what does that mean? It means you need to pray. Doesn't mean you have to lock yourself up in a closet. You can if you like. But you need to pray. That quiet place is what it means. For Jesus, it was the garden. He'd go often and he'd pray there. Where is your garden? Where's your prayer closet? Go there often. You see, because if you don't, how are you going to hear the word of the Lord? Remember that small, still voice that we talked about and we'll talk about again? We have to hear so that we can speak. So he stands on God's word, Elijah does. And in the middle of a drought, Elijah walks into a desert, not knowing where he would land up. God told him, go. I want you to go out towards the brook that I described to you, the brook Cherith. And as you go, just be obedient. Just keep walking till I tell you to stop. How many of us do that in our walk with God? We're not worried about the things that are happening in the world, but we're praying about them. And yes, we know things could be different. God is with us. Who could be against us? So Elijah starts to walk, not knowing where he's going to land up or what he will do there. We don't know where we're going or where we're headed. There's no real target to aim for because things are so unusual, changing from day to day. Now that's trusting God when we continue to walk in God. Elijah did so. You remember the story in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. God was speaking to Elijah. He says, go out to the mountain and stand at it before God. And when the Lord passed by, there was all this wind. Wind that was so strong, it breaks the rocks around him. That's a powerful wind. Then there was the earthquake. And it's interesting because the wind broke the rocks on the surface. The earthquake breaks the rocks beneath him. The very foundation of the earth is shaken. Today, many believe that this is the shaking earthquake that's happening in the world, ushering the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, which I do believe is at hand. And the very foundations of the earth are shaken. And it's interesting because God also shows him fire. It's not earth, wind, and fire. It's wind, earth, and fire. First, the wind will break the rocks on the surface of the earth. Then the earthquake will break the foundations of the earth. And the fire, what are the fires all about? Because fire consumes everything. Oh, come on, Pete, I've seen fires that burn trees and, you know, it doesn't burn the earth. Try throwing the earth into the sun. I guarantee you it'll burn up. The Bible says that everything is going to burn. It's going to be purified. Are we trusting in God? And that's what we looked at last week. Now we're going to look at the book of Psalm, because the title of the message is My Rock, My Walk. If our foundation is solid rock of Jesus Christ, he is the rock that was not hewn by man. It's not our church building that we should worship. It's not our church pastors that we are to worship. We're not even to worship one another. We do that often. We hold up someone that God is using in a powerful way, and we start to say that they are the only ones that have a revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in these end time scenario that there will be a great outpouring of his Spirit. I believe that is happening today. As people are separated from the congregation and the church buildings, they're able to, and I have spoken to many of you, you guys are more on fire now than you were before. This is awesome. This is a good thing. Because now you are venturing into the Word of God. You are standing on that rock daily. You are leading your families. You are covering your wife in prayer and your children in prayer. And you're doing everything that God is requiring you to do. Now we're able to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And believe me, the Holy Spirit is powerful today. You just mention God and they'll either turn away or they'll say, tell me more. People are hungry. Many are. The Bible says many will turn away. There's a great turning away at the end, but there's a great outpouring. Which side do you want to walk? On the turning away side or on the outpouring? This is why God has called us to read His Word, study His Word. In Psalm, we're going to be looking at verse 1, and in verse 1 there are three don'ts, three things that we shouldn't do. It says in verse 1, blessed is the man. Literally, blessed are you, ladies, gentlemen. It's not directed just to men. It says, blessed is the man. In the Hebrew, the word blessed is not, it's not a singular word. It's a blessings, if you will, plural. There are blessings. You are blessed with blessings. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the first don't. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It could be translated in the original language, the wicked. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Don't do that. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 14 says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. In fact, it goes on in verse 15 of Proverbs chapter 4. It says, avoid it. The word avoid means turn away, pass on. If you see evil coming your way, go the other way. If you happen to walk into the midst of evil unaware, you weren't trying to go into a neighborhood that was filled with evil, it says turn away or pass on through. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't go near the wicked. The Bible says here, the second don't, nor stands in the path of sinners. Don't stand in the path of sinners. Don't congregate with the sinners just because you can't congregate in the churches. Don't turn yourself to the places which they, i.e. those who are wicked, tend to gather. Don't hang out with those people, lest they turn you away from the Lord. Make sure that God is leading you and guiding you through your pathway. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Don't let yourself govern yourself. Don't make judgment calls on your own. Make sure you check with God. Make sure you're following His instructions and not your own. We might say, well, I really felt it in my heart to go into that place and minister to those people. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't trust your heart. Trust the heart of God. Trust Jesus. He'll guide you, I guarantee you. And the more you pray in your prayer closet and the more you read your word, He will guide you. The third don't in the first verse of Psalm is, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So those are the three things that we should not do. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now this is interesting because the law, you all know the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. Whenever we as people are told, we're very rebellious. We don't like to come under authority. It's our nature, it's our flesh. When we are told, do not do this. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? Do not eat from this tree. Don't eat from that. What did they do? They ate. Do not go into this place. What do? We go. The other thing we don't like to do is falls under not liking being told what to do. An authority in our life tells us, you need to do this. We rebel. Be it an authority at work, an authority of the government. Well, I can't stand that authority. Well, whether you like them or not, the Bible says that you should pray for them. Some will say, well, there's no way I'm going to pray for that person. Obviously, they don't know the Lord. The Bible says not to judge a man or a woman's salvation and to come under the authority that God has placed there, for there is no authority that which God has not placed. In the book of Romans, chapter 13. So we see that our heart is bent on rebelling against our authorities. He says, don't walk in the counsel of the godly, don't stand in the path of sinners, nor sit with the scornful. You see, you can get comfortable. You walk with them, then you stand with them and talk to them, and then you actually sit down and have communion with them. But your delight is in the law of the Lord. You see, salvation isn't in the law. Salvation is in Jesus Christ, in Him and Him alone. It's His blood that sanctifies us, that seals us in. But there is a delight in walking in the authorities which God has placed in the land. You see, when you're not breaking the law, you're not worried that any harm will come to you. God will take care of you, whether it's by plenty or by little. He will take care of you. We saw that with Elijah last week. Our delight should be walking in the law of the Lord. Well, what about the authorities, the laws in the land? Well, God says to come under them. Because there is no authority which He has not placed there, believe it or not, the good, the bad, all of them. And in His law, He meditates. So your delight is in the law of the Lord, doing good, doing what's right, not doing what's wrong. And in His law, He meditates day and night. Are you meditating day and night on the Word of God? Well, Pete, I can't do that. I have to work. I understand. But do you think of Him? What about when you have a problem at work? Do you rant and rave and just get upset? Maybe even at the authority? Oh, this crazy boss, I don't know what they expect from me. I'm only a human. I can't do miracles. I'm not God. No, but you can ask God to do a miracle for you. When the computer shuts down and doesn't work and you don't know what's going on and you've exhausted yourself trying to figure it out, and then you say, oh, maybe if I pray. And you pray, and God, miraculously, He fixes the computer, your vehicle, whatever it may be. I have seen and been in situations where God shows up. Unfortunately, it's after I've exhausted all my other options. I tried as hard as I could, and then I finally say, God, I can't do this. I thought it was something simple. I thought I understood this, but I don't. It's beyond me. That's what the Bible calls humility. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. I think this is a time where we're actually being exalted, not as a church or a denomination, but as the body of Christ. We are everywhere, in the nooks and the crannies, not in the big halls and the auditoriums. We're in the field, ministering daily the Word of God. As much as we can. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and He meditates on it day and night, asking God to show you who to talk to, how to talk to them, day and night. Those are the three do's. We saw the three don'ts in verse 1, the three do's in verse 2, and now in verse 3, the three results. If we do verses 1 and 2, we see our result. He or she shall be like a tree. Really? What's so great about a tree? Well, some of them stand pretty tall. But nevertheless, they're taller than the grass, usually. Taller than things around them. You'll be noticed, not for your abilities, but for your godliness, as you walk in the law, as you meditate in the law, as you don't counsel with the ungodly or stand with them or sit with them. It says, then you'll be like a tree. Well, what kind of tree? Well, the tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Growing up in Española, there was many trees along the border of our property on the farm because the Rio Chama was at its end, at the end of the property. The trees on the high end of the property didn't grow as tall, but the cottonwoods down by the river were humongous. They were huge. Awesome trees. Do you want to be an awesome tree? Stick to the Word of God. Conduct yourself first and foremostly in the will of God as much as you can. God knows your heart. He knows that we'll fail, but he'll lift us up. And you will be like that tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season. You see, if you stay firmly planted in Jesus Christ during these hard times, there's going to be fruit. There will be fruit. God guarantees that. Your leaf, whose leaf also shall not wither. You know how the leaf withers as fall comes? There is no fall. You will not wither. During the heat of the day or the cold of winter, you will be blooming. You will be producing fruit for the kingdom of heaven. And whatever he does shall prosper. Those things, those are the three results that come from walking in verse 1 and walking in verse 2. And the ungodly in verse 4 are not so. This isn't for them because they're not doing what God has required, staying close to our Heavenly Father, our precious Jesus, being moved by our Holy Spirit. They have no interest in that. So the wicked or the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind drives away. They're just dust in the wind, so to speak. Don't be driven by the winds of change. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. When things change, and they always will, or they often will, make sure that you're rock solid, planted by the rivers of water, producing fruit for the kingdom of God, regardless if you're in a church or not. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So don't be driven by the winds of change. Verse 5 and 6, though, are interesting. It says, again, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So it kind of demands or begs of us a choice. What are you going to do? We have a choice here in Psalm 1 and in other places that the Bible gives us a choice. We have a choice what we're going to choose. Are we going to choose to follow the Lord or choose to follow the system around us? You know, we have all these decisions. We need to go before the Lord. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, there is a choice that is presented, much like verse 5 and 6 of chapter 1 of the book of Psalm. It says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity. So we have to have godly reverence or fear, if you will. And we have to be sincere. Sincere is an interesting word. It means without wax. It means that you won't melt when things get difficult or heated up. So fear the Lord with sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods or the idols which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt, which is a type of the world. So don't fall into false worship of things or places or governments or kings or pastors or churches or buildings. Don't fall into that worship of things. Here it says, serve the Lord. Don't fall into all that other stuff. Just fear the Lord. Be sincere. Get away from the idols and serve Jesus wherever you are, even if it's just your family. Because if you're ministering to your family, that's your first call anyway. Serve the Lord. In verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, if for some reason you think, I'm not going to serve the Lord, look what he's done. He's allowed this plague to hit the whole world. He's hit our finances. He's touched everything. I feel like Job. I'm not going to serve him. Make no mistake. You are incorrect. This is the time more than ever to serve him when things are difficult. When the enemy throws a strong delusion, as the Bible says he will in the end times, to make you think that he, God, has let you down because things in your life are not as wonderful as they were before, that's a lie from the devil. He has caused these things. God is standing in the gap, and he will rescue you, even unto the point of death. He is for you, never against you. So if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord now because you're disappointed with the way things are, you're not happy that things aren't going as good as they were with you before, it says choose. You choose. Nobody can choose for you. Your spouse can't choose for you to serve God. Your children can't choose for you. You can't choose for your children. You individually. Yes, you. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, that would be the world. For them it was Egypt, for us it's the world. If you choose to serve them, then go ahead. But Joshua says here, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Bible seems to be clear. We have a choice to make, just like Joshua said. We need to choose. That's it. That's all you have to do. Choose. I will follow you, God. And then once you choose, you stay away from the three don'ts. Get involved in the three do's. Make sure that you make right choices. After all, we are God's representative. When we take the name Christians, and I hope you have. If you haven't, there's going to be an opportunity in a minute or two to do so. But if you have chosen to be a Christian, then be the best Christian you possibly can. Now is the time to shine more than ever. Don't hide under a table. God says he didn't want the lamp to be placed under the table. He wants it to be on the table where everybody can see it. Make sure people know that you're a Christian by your behavior, your obedience to the Word of God and all the authorities that he has placed. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed to them. Mountains in this culture sometimes were indicative of problems in your life. If there's a problem in your life right now, could it be God has appointed these mountains for us to cry out to him to remove the mountain from us? Or at least to help us journey to the top of that mountain, to overcome it. When they saw Jesus, they worshiped Jesus. But not all. Some doubted, it says in verse 17. Don't doubt. Jesus is with you. He is for you. And he will continue to be there for you, no matter what your situation is. Verse 18 of Matthew 28 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is what God has called us to do. Maybe you can't travel to the other side of the world anymore if you are a missionary. You can still be one at home. Wherever you're at, wherever you live. That's what God has called us to do. And he calls us to be teachers of the Word of God. Even if you know just a little bit of the Word, teach somebody that little bit that you know. Teaching them, in verse 20, to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of an age. Amen. The Great Commission. Now that's love. God has shown us incredible love through his Son, Jesus Christ. Joshua has shown us that we need to make a choice. The book of Psalm has shown us what to do and what not to do. Stand on the word. Stand on the rock. And walk with Jesus daily. If you're sitting there and God is ministering to you and you've been rebellious in one form or another, repent now. And if you're sitting there and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and King, you've never received the free gift of salvation, you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, then let's do all these things now. Heavenly Father, for those of us who are saved, we pray, Lord Jesus, as we bow our head, as we gather together, where two or more gather, there you will be. There are many of us gathering now by these airwaves, and we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to walk in your ways and help us to do all the things that we heard today and read today out of your word. The examples that you have left us through your Son, Jesus Christ, help us to do these, Lord God, to be obedient, and help us to have joy in the midst of our obedience, Lord God, knowing that we are pleasing you. Our obedience, I understand, Lord, is not our salvation, but we want to make you happy. We want to put a smile on your face by walking in obedience, Lord God, as a child before his father or mother. And Father, there are some here, and if that's you, and you're thinking, I need to ask Jesus into my heart, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you. Not only do I need you, but I ask you to come into my heart and reside within me. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit that I may have the ability to walk a pure life as close as possible to you. Forgive me of my sins. I acknowledge that I fall short daily, Lord God, but though I will never be perfect, you are the perfect Lamb of God. And I receive your gift of salvation that you sacrificed on the cross for my sake. Ignite a passion within me. I love you, Lord. Come into my life. If you pray today, God bless you. And welcome to the family of God. We love you. God loves you. Be blessed. Be safe. And be an example to those around you. Have a wonderful day in Jesus.